proud of her. And it sort of plays into the message this morning, being an honorable vessel. I want you to notice, if you would, there's a word used in verse number 20 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says this, but in a great house there are only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, I'm going to pause just for a minute, and I'm going to get a vessel that's under dishonor. It's a vessel, but it's not something that I want you to see all the time. Okay? Now, this is a vessel under honor. I want to take just a minute. This was given to me, and I didn't know what I'd do with it. And I began to think about it and said, what could I use that for? And I preached my first sermon 54 years ago. So over time, when you run your mouth as much as I do, you mess up your voice over time. And so that sort of happened. So I go to the doctor, and he says, look, he said, if you would not talk as much, it might help you. I said, what about another option? Okay. And he says, well, you can keep it warm, and you can take this prescription. So I take a prescription, kind of try to help a little bit. And he said, look, he said, keep your voice warm. So I said, okay, that's what I can use that cup for. It is a gift for buying a pair of boots that I had. And so they gave me this as a gift. Now, understand this. Everybody in this room, God has given you a gift. That gift is in this passage, in this book, salvation. We're going to look at four S's this morning very quickly that are required in order to be an honor, a vessel unto honor. Now, I want you to notice, all of us start out with this. We're not worth much. Because we're sinners. Sin has wrecked our lives. It has destroyed our future. And you'll notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy 1. And you'll notice in verse number 9, this is 2 Timothy 1:9, he says, Paul is speaking, is who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. So, if you're here this morning, the first thing you need to be a vessel unto honor. Now, look here. I wouldn't drink out of that trash can, nor would any of you. But all of us can be transformed into something unusable and to something that's usable. Now, you have different kinds of cups that have different purposes. You've got a big cup that maybe you put ice in and drink a Coke out of it, and then you've got a cup that you drink coffee out of. Typically, how many of you drink Coke out of your coffee cup? Would you raise your hand? That's what I thought. So God has a plan for all of us. Maybe you're a Coke cup. Maybe you're a coffee cup. Maybe you're a hot chocolate cup. But God has a purpose for everybody in this room. Notice what he said in verse 9. He gave a great word. He said, not according to our works, but notice verse 9, hath called us with a holy calling. Everybody in this room's got a purpose. The first thing, you've got to be saved. You've got to come to a point in your life when you realize you don't deserve to go to heaven. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. And so you and I cannot go to heaven on our own. We have to go to hell and pay for our own sin. But the Lord loved us. So first, you look at John 3:16, but God so loved the world. That's you. Take the world out. God so loved me. That's you and me. That he gave the most precious thing of heaven, his son. Now it's up to you and I to receive it. And we receive it like the thief on the cross did. Lord, we call out to the Lord. It's a personal thing. It's not something done in front of people. It's not something done in a baptistry. It's not something done in a particular location. It's whenever the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you say, look, I sense, and I'm not going to heaven. I want to get it. I want to receive Christ's gift, the gift of eternal life. I want you to notice, you can be saved different places where the Holy Spirit touches your heart. Somebody here, tell me where you were saved. Maybe in a bedroom. Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Saved in a bedroom. How many of you were saved at a kitchen table? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you were saved in a church? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you were saved in a place of work? Anybody like that? Anybody got saved at work? Anybody? I see. Okay. Anybody got saved outside? Just the Holy Spirit touched your heart. You're outside. Raise your hand. I see them. Yes. Yes. You can be saved any place the Holy Spirit touches your heart. Now, like last week, we don't just say, I want to be saved and get saved. The Holy Spirit comes to our heart. But He promised to come to everybody. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. So God has a time and place to save everybody. And He makes this offer of eternal life. It's being offered this morning. You can trust Christ to save you if you've never trusted Him and get it settled. But it's a personal thing. In order to be transformed from a trash can that's worth very little to something of great value, to be a great help to the God of heaven, to be a vessel of honor, the first thing is you've got to accept His free gift, the gift of eternal life. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you can get saved right here. You can get saved right here. If you like, you can come. I'll be glad to take you in a room right there with nobody in it. We'll sit down and go through the Word of God. That's the way I got saved. But I want you to know today, the gift of eternal life is being offered to everybody in this room. If you don't know you're on your way to heaven, the first step from the trash can to the palace is that you and I would say, Lord, I don't deserve to be used of You. I'm a sinner. Will You forgive me? And He'll take His precious Son's blood and wipe away your sin, and you have a home in heaven. He'll make you into His family. As many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, John 1:12. So He'll make you His child if you'll trust Him as Savior. And you can't get to heaven without that. You can't become a valuable vessel of honor without trusting Christ as Savior. Now that's the first S, you saw it. Saved. Whom He saved us. But you'll notice there's another S in here. And I want you to see it. Sealed. Look if you were to verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, over to Ephesians, just a book or two previous. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to see verse number 13. Now we're going to look into salvation just a little bit. The inner workings of salvation. So you can understand step 2. It's not up to us. And I want you to see it. It's a wonderful step. Notice if you would Ephesians 1 verse number 13. In whom you also trusted. So that's the date, the moment in time when you said, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm going to trust You to get me there. Would You forgive me of my sin? I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. We put our trust in Christ. And notice, if you would, after that you heard the word of truth, after that you read the Bible or someone shared the gospel with you, Holy Spirit touched your heart, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation. So now you've been saved. You put your trust in the Lord. Notice this. In whom after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now you may not realize it, but God put a seal on you, redeemed. You're His. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're redeemed. You've got the seal of God on you. From time to time, how many of you know what a birth certificate, a real birth certificate looks like? It's got a stamp on it or seal on it. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, you can make a copy of that, but it doesn't count. If you want to go get your passport, they want the original. And so I had to send off to get my birth certificate. When it came back, it had a seal on it that it was authentic. Your seal is that the Holy Spirit was gifted to you into your heart. And the moment you trusted Christ as Savior, He wrote your name down in the book of life, Revelation 20. But He also gave you the Holy Spirit in your heart that from here on out, you know you're His. Whenever you start to do something and the Holy Spirit touches your heart, you say, I ought not to do that. Or I ought to do that. I ought to pass out a tract. I ought to give that gospel out. I ought to give a kind word. The Holy Spirit guides you, and it's because He is your seal. Now, I want you to notice this. He is the seal, and this seal is one of authentication that you're His. But you'll notice, look what He says in verse number 13 of Ephesians 1. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the day of redemption of the purchased possession. So you know what He said? He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so that you know I'm coming to get you one of these days. He's the down payment that you know you're mine. And so today, everybody that's trusted Christ as Savior, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that's the down payment that He's coming to get you. That's His promise that I'm coming to get you. And notice what He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, that you've got a home in heaven. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to guarantee you so that you know you've been sealed, you're mine, and I'm bringing you home one of these days. Now, what a privilege that is. Do you understand what's happened to you if you've trusted Christ as Savior? You're a child of God. You've got an inheritance in heaven. When my dad died, I didn't even get a picture. I got no inheritance, period. But that's not happening with my Heavenly Father. Because He gave me a seal, a promise. He said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, and I'm coming to get you one of these days and bring you home to your inheritance. Notice what He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until He comes and redeems you because you're His purchased possession. Do you realize you're not a trash can anymore? You're something special. And God's got a purpose for you. Young people, you're something special to the Lord. You're not just a nothing. I know you may feel like I'm 13 years old, I'm in the seventh grade, and I'm a nothing. You're pretty close, but not really. No, I'm kidding with you. No, seriously, when I was a youth pastor, seventh graders, they're just learning things and kind of just got out of the sixth grade. They're trying to figure out where math class is. And you know, it's all in the same room in the sixth grade. And in seventh grade, you know, they got their books. I've got to go figure out where it is and where my class is. They're trying to figure it all out. But through it all, remember this, you're special. Matter of fact, the Lord calls you a peculiar possession. That's something that is one of a kind. You're something special to the Lord. Now, here's where it comes in, the gist of the message. Now, I want you to understand, you can never be a vessel unto honor unless you've been redeemed, unless you put your faith and trust in Christ, unless you've trusted Him. And from there on, the next step is up to Him. He gives you the Holy Spirit the moment you're born into God's family. And from that day forth, you know He's coming to get me one of these days. I'm His. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Does anybody know what the next three words are? Therefore, glorify God. That's the way you begin to take the next step into a vessel of honor. Notice, if you would, take your Bible back to the same passage that Brother Scott read. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. If a man, therefore. Now, anytime you see a therefore, you got to look back to see why it's there. Okay? What it's referencing. Well, he says, notice, if a man, therefore. What's he speaking about? What's before this? Well, verse 20. In a great house there are vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor. They're all in the house. They're all God's children, but some are honorable and some are dishonorable. And the choice is up to us. There are some dishonorable Christians. It could be a lot of us in this room. It could be me if I don't do this third thing. You'll notice, if you would, he says in verse number 21, if a man therefore, because he's made the choice to be honorable, and I plead with everybody in this room, choose to be an honorable vessel. Choose to go from the trash can to the penthouse. Oh, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm never going to be something like so-and-so. God has a special place for everybody in this room. It's a calling of God upon your life. But you can't aspire to that unless you're a vessel into honor. This has got to be clean, or I'm not drinking out of it. Notice what he says, verse 21. If a man, therefore, notice the next word, purge himself from these. Notice, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Purge himself from what? Well, notice he says, and he uses another S word, here it is, sanctified. And meet for the master's use. So, sanctification is this. I choose to go from that to that. Lord, I want to be used. I want to be a vessel unto honor. So he says, okay, you got to get rid of some things. Notice, if you would, in verse number 22, flee also youthful lusts. Youthful lusts are things that young people kind of get involved with because they're not mature enough sometimes to recognize them. They haven't made the decision yet to be sanctified, to go from the trash can to the penthouse. Notice, if you would, in verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness. And he gives a list of things here. And you'll notice he says in verse number 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. So there's a lot of things we have to purge ourselves from in between. And I have to do it myself. I have to change my words that I use to make sure they're honorable words. I have to change my actions, my attitude. I got to make sure I'm doing the things that the Lord wants me to do. Okay? You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Look in verse number 16. But shun profane and vain things. So he says, look, I've got to put off some things and put on some things. Maybe you have to put off an attitude that is just always there. I use this a lot, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. How many of you know what I mean when I say you get up on the wrong side of the bed? Okay? What does that mean? Somebody tell me. Yes, sir? You got a bad attitude. Yep. It just got up and the sun's not up, it's cloudy. And I didn't get a good night's sleep. And my razor's dull. And my oatmeal's cold. And the whole world stinks, you know? It's just like I'm not pleasant to be around. And so I got up on the wrong side of the bed. He said, purge yourself from that. That's the attitude of the trash can. You got to have the attitude of the honorable. Look, you and I have to look at it and say, I can't be like that anymore because I've been redeemed. I'm somebody special to the Lord, and I want Him to be pleased with me. In this sanctification, one thing happens. You change from trying to be like the world, like somebody else, to I want to be approved by you. That's the biggest change in sanctification. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know what he says? Look, you've made the decision. I don't want to be the trash can anymore. I want to be usable by God. I want to be a vessel unto honor. You and I are very unique in the sense that we get to make that choice. After we've been saved and sealed by God, then you and I have to decide, who do we want to please? Ourselves, somebody else in the world, a friend, or the Lord himself. This word approved, dokumos, it's the word for a man that would exchange money in the Greek days. they would make coins, and if the coins were approved, they weighed the right amount, they were considered dokumos. And so that coin, many coin makers would shave a little bit off the edge, and it was just a hair under proper weight. So it didn't have the right weight. And so that coin maker was considered to be unapproved. And so there's a lot of people, we shave the edges of our life for my sake. We shave the edges of our life for my friend's sake. We shave the edges of our life for money's sake. We shave the edge of our life. So I don't lie often. I don't have the wrong thoughts often. But we have not made the choice to please him and him alone. Who have you made the choice to please? Sanctification really is, I've made the choice to please him. And everybody in this room is going to make the choice. You can look like a vessel unto honor, but you can't be one until you make the decision, I'm going to please him. And let me tell you why. Watch this. I can do all the right things. I can get up here and I can play the piano. And you can't tell the difference of whether I'm a vessel unto honor. I can get up here to sing, which I am not. But if I got up here to sing, you could not tell if I was a vessel unto honor. I could go down the orchestra pit and I could play that violin till it catches on fire. But you can't tell if I've made that decision. I want to please you. Because I'll tell you where it comes up at. It may not come up in your language. It may not come up in your church attendance. But it will come up in your attitude. And it will come up in your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5, bringing into captivity every thought. That takes you from the trash can to the vessel of honor. David figured it out at the end of his life. Psalm 139, 24 and 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. The first choice of the sanctified Christian, I want to please you. The second choice is, I won't tolerate anything you don't tolerate. Now that's tough. That's tough. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about Colossians chapter 4, our words. A word fitly spoken. It's a word that is like, it's at the right time. It's at the right place. It's at the right attitude. And so we have to look at it when somebody is blasting us. We have to have the right grace to say, may the Lord bless you. We have to overlook the faults of others and do the thing that is right in order to be a vessel unto honor. There are very few vessels unto honor. Not because God doesn't want every one of us to be, but it's because we have not made the decision, I'm going to please him and I'm going to leave no stone unturned that doesn't. Could I ask you a question? Have you surrendered to sanctify heart? Lord, you're first. I'll do anything to please you. I forgive Rich Wiggs. He said that to me the other day, and this didn't happen. But I'll forgive Rich Wiggs, even though I just, because Lord, help me to stand him better. Lord, help me to love him. You see, you can't be a vessel unto honor and hate anybody. You can't even hate your enemies, Matthew 5. Very few Christians have ever risen to the level of sanctification and honor. But all of us can. Because he'll strengthen us and help us. Because he loves you. He's counting on you. He needs you. I want you to notice, look if you would, in verse 21. I want you to see a word here that'll help you to understand what it means to be sanctified and how far we go. Notice if you would, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. I love that word. Eukrustos, it's the word for easy to use. Now, this cup is not totally sanctified. I'll tell you why. Because you can only drink out of one spot right there. Now, a real sanctified cup would always turn itself around so that I just grab it and it's easy to use. Now, this cup can't do that. But I can. I can be very easy to use. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Lord, you tell me. Lord, anything but singing, I'll do it. And I've got a bad feeling. My wife is constantly on me. I say constantly, off and on, to say, honey, why don't the staff men sing together? How many of you would like that? If you raise your hand, I'm going to vote you out. Anybody like that? That's what I thought. You know what? Scott sings, Brandon sings, Andrew sings. JD, do you sing? Oh, see, there's a guy not totally sanctified right back there. He's shaking his head. You know, you and I are in the same boat, buddy. We're working at it. Okay? But if the Lord says, I would. But it's only because I want to be this vessel of honor. I'm not willing to say no. Not to my words, not to my attitude, not to my thoughts, which nobody can see. You see, that's what changes a Christian from a good guy to sanctified. A vessel unto honor. As he tries to think right every day. That's something you can't see, but he can. Now, when you notice the last one, and you'll see it. You have to look for it. Verse 24, we'll look at two verses. Notice we got the first S is salvation. The second S is sealed. The third S is sanctification. But notice the fourth one. And the verse 24, servant of the Lord. Servant of the Lord. We must be serving. Look over, if you would, in chapter 1, verse number 3. I thank God whom I serve. That last S is serving. Now, you can't be a good servant unless you're easy to use. And you'll notice he says here, this servant, he says in verse 24, he must not strive. It can't be about you, what you think is right, but gentle unto all men. Gentle, kind, gracious. Easy on them. And notice this, easy to everybody but Rick Clark. Everybody but John Stryker. No. Gentle unto all men. There's no exception. I was trying to explain the word this morning in Colossians chapter 4 when it says, you know, it speaks about our words. He said, let your speech be always with grace. And I was taught never to say always, because I could never do anything always. But I do understand this. God says always, Pittman. So I don't get an out. I don't get a mulligan. I don't get a chance to say that's my free one for the day. He said, always let your speech be great. Always let your thoughts be right. Always. You'll notice here he says, always gentle to all men. Do you see the standard of holiness that God wants us to do? That's why nobody ever gets there. But the closer we get, the sweeter smell we give to the Lord, the more joy we bring to his heart, the more respect we have in this life, the more honor we bring to the Lord and to our Savior. But you have to choose to do that. It'll cost you everything. Potentially. But you'll notice this. This man is blessed of God. This woman is blessed of the Lord. We might falter a bit. But he says, though he shall fall 7 times, the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I want you to know, when I make a mistake and I say, Lord, I'm sorry, he lifts me right back up to a position of honor. As long as I say, Lord, you first, nothing in my heart. I'm yours. Are you a vessel into honor this morning? I was reading this week about failures and almost failures. 2020 Olympics, the women's 400 meters relay team. They're running the relay. Second leg. The girl in the lane next door, next to this one American girl, the girl's reached out with her baton, bumped her, and she takes the baton and can't reach the girl, so she throws it to the girl and it hits the ground. Everybody runs on and she's sitting there and you can just see her with her hands in her head. She's failed. 3 girls. The team. She's failed her country. She's almost distraught. Other girls come around her. The judges said she was touched. She was hit. We'll give you a second chance. So they did with the U.S. Olympic team. The girls team. They put them back in the same thing. Stadium is still there. All the other runners are gone. They said, we'll give you one more chance. But you got to run it alone. They put them in the same lane, lane 2. Nobody else on the track. How many of you know how hard it is to run your fastest when you're not running against somebody? You're not running to win. Well, they got their chance. They had watched that baton hit the ground and all hope was lost. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, my baton's in the trash can. But the Lord declares, you got another chance. You put me first. I want to please you. And you said there's nothing between us. Come on. Get out of the trash can. So the girls' team had to get a time that was good enough to qualify for the finals. So they get in the track and they start, the gun sounds just like everybody else just before when they drop the baton. This time they go all the way around, hand it off to the next girl. The next girl, number 2 goes around, puts it in the hands of number 3. They just keep right on going. And their time was good enough to get them into the finals. Even though they ran by themselves against themselves, which all of us in this room are always doing. It's not me against Scott. It's not Scott against Joe. It's me against me, my flesh. Dear Holy Spirit, I want to be sanctified. I want to be pleasing to you. Father, would you search me? I give you my all. I want a good home. I want a sweet marriage. I'll do anything to get there. Lord, I want to be a good employee. Lord, I'll do anything to get there. It changes everything, folks. So the girls get a chance to get in the finals. You want to know what happened in the finals? They get in the finals. They're in lane 1, the worst lane. You don't want to be in lane 1. You're on the edge of the track. And so they're in lane 1. It's like everything has been against them this whole time. And that's the way you and I can feel sometimes. Everything's against me. Nothing goes my way. But if you just keep getting up, and if you just keep saying, Lord, I want to be yours, all yours, you're going to go from the trash can to the vessel of honor. It's just guaranteed. Because the Lord says, I'll help you. Though you should fall 7 times, I'll lift you up. And so the girls, the gun sounds, and the first girl starts running, and she makes up a little time, gives it to the second girl. The girl dropped the baton. She goes up the next girl, and I could see them in the race. I watched the race as she put her in her hand, and the girls got it back. You don't look back. You start off running at a certain distance, and by the time you get to your tape up there, you've got to have the baton or you're lost. So she's running, and all of a sudden she puts her hand back, and the other girl comes up. She tries to put it and almost gets in her hand, and then puts it in her hand, and then you saw that girl clamp her hand down on it. And the girl that was running number 2 that had failed everybody, you see her just kind of take a big sigh of relief and run on. Number 3 keeps right on going, hands it to number 4, and she starts sprinting with all of her might. They ran the second fastest time in the history of the world. Gold medal. Because they got out of the trash can where all was lost. And they said, we'll run by ourselves. It doesn't matter. We'll run against the world. It doesn't matter. We're going to do our best. The difference is, they were doing it for a gold medal. You and I are doing it for Him. Today, can I ask you this question? Are you a vessel unto honor? Everybody here can be. And nobody can stop you except you. But God is cheering you on. That's mine. He's mine. She's mine. I got a special calling for you. Everybody in this room, will you do it today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here today. You've never trusted Christ. Could I encourage you to come to this altar? He'll meet you here today. This could be the greatest place in your life where you trust Christ. If you just come to me, I'll help you. I promise. Like someone did for me, I'll help you. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm carrying a weight. I know I'm the Lord's. I didn't realize how special I was to Him. But I haven't desired to be a vessel of honor with all my heart. Could I challenge you today? Would you purge yourself from the things of your life that ought not to be there for the Lord's sake, not for anybody else's? You're running for Him. Even if you drop the baton, if you'll get up, you can keep right on running for Him. Father, speak to hearts today as only You can. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if you would please. Page 390, I surrender all. If you need to come this morning, first verse, this verse is for you. Would you come today?
All to Jesus.
But I want to give You my heart. That's right, you come right ahead.
To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him.
You serve a great Savior. He's worthy.
I surrender all. I surrender. Surrender
the verse or two, and that'll be it. If you need to come, it's not too late.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. Surrender all. Surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
So if you need to come, this is it, last verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
You know, when I watched the video and watched the young lady talk, I was so encouraged. She said, when I saw the baton hit the track, I thought all was lost. My batons hit the track a lot. I just had the joy to know It's never all lost as long as I'm willing to get up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. It's you first. Everybody here can have the joy of the Lord and can make an eternal difference if you just keep getting up. Just remember, it's never all lost. Well, let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Visitors, please stop by the Welcome Center. My wife and I'll be back there. Bring me your card if you would. Take just a minute. And thank you for coming today. May the Lord bless you. Father, thank you today for never giving up on us. Lord, I thank you for the promise of the gift of God and the grace of God will be presented to all men. And Lord Jesus, thank you for the desire to use us, even though we start out as trash cans. But Lord, you can make us into vessels of honor. That is beyond my comprehension, how that the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, could think that I could be a vessel unto honor. Lord, I pray that you would help me to please you, help the people here at this service. In your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed this morning. Thank you for coming.